Proverbs 14. We're going to read the verses 7 to 13 together. Hear the word of God. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. Fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. And our text this morning is verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. We'll spend a few minutes reflecting on that before we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. After the ministry of the word, we're going to sing from Psalm 42, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever been annoyed by something that someone else said? They generally mean well. Sometimes it comes out very badly. This is especially the case if you encounter some kind of difficulty in life and people try to say things to make you feel better. One example that I came across was of someone who had lost their grandmother. And a well-meaning friend said to them, "I'm so sorry about the loss of your grandmother. I know exactly how you feel. I lost my cat last year." They were serious. Now, this example might strike some of you as funny because it's so clueless. Who in their right mind would say something like that? But it does bring home one uncomfortable fact, and that is that no one can ever know exactly what you feel like. The proverb that we read this morning confirms this same idea. It says that we are isolated from each other on the one point where we need the most support: grief. But the Bible doesn't leave us there. It says Jesus experienced the ultimate bitterness of heart. Therefore, he can share the bitterness of our hearts, and he equips us to share in the bitterness of each other's hearts. Now, maybe before we go on, it would be good to clarify what exactly is meant here by the word bitterness. It says the heart knows its own bitterness. What does that mean, this word bitterness? You see, usually when we talk about bitterness or about people being bitter, we mean people that are angry. They might be angry about things that have happened in their lives, angry about people who have hurt them, and so bitterness is, you could say, it's anger that has been buried. It doesn't flare up, but it's been buried. It's like a coal fire burning underground for years and years, and it smolders, and sometimes it bursts into flame. You don't see the fire most of the time, but the smoke seeps through the cracks, and it ruins everything. And then in the same way, bitterness can ruin people's lives. Now, that's how most people understand bitterness, and that kind of bitterness is sin. But having said that, the sense of this word as it's used in our text is that bitterness means something different. It means misery. It means disappointment. It means sorrow. And that's different. The only other use of this word in the Bible, this form of bitterness, is at the end of Genesis chapter 26, which is one of the more obscure passages in the Bible. And what you read there is that Esau went off and married two Hittite heathen women. And these women were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah, his parents. The problem with Isaac and Rebekah was not that they were angry, but that they had a deep and persistent grief at the poor life choices that their son had made and was making. And some of you know what that pain is. That's the kind of heartache that our text is referring to. Not that specific situation necessarily, but that type of pain, a deep, persistent, aching pain that's in the background and that just sits there and never seems to go away. It can come in different forms, but at root it is the long-term heartache of sorrow, disappointment, emotional pain. And by the way, the word heart in this context refers to the part of you that feels emotions. We do the same thing in English, actually. We say that someone had a broken heart. We don't mean that they need a cardiac surgeon, but that they're heartbroken, that their feelings hurt very deeply. Now, bitterness is described as a very persistent grief that weighs their heart down. That's what's meant here in Proverbs 14, verse 10. But now the question is, what does the text mean? What's it saying? It's saying the heart knows its own bitterness and no stranger shares its joy. What was the point of what the writer was saying? Well, what he's saying is that sorrow isolates. Sorrow isolates you. The heart knows its own bitterness, but no one else does. Sorrow can make you lonely because no one else really seems to get what you're going through. No one else really understands, and that's the point of this proverb. And what's really striking is that he hasn't provided a solution. Most of the time when you read a proverb, it presents a problem, but then also a solution. We actually see something like that in verse 11, for example. There's a contrast. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. And so it presents this problem, and the answer is obvious. Don't go into the house of the wicked because the house of the wicked will be destroyed. Fine, we understand that. But verse 10 gives us this problem, and it doesn't provide us with a solution. It says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy, and that's just the way life is. That's life in a broken world. You can never really understand each other completely. The heart knows its own bitterness, no stranger shares its joy. And when it says stranger, it doesn't mean that a friend would understand. The word stranger here is used in the sense of another person. That's a consequence of life in a fallen world, that we're alone in our bitterness. We have bitterness and we are alone in our bitterness. And no one else can really know exactly what is going on in your heart. Now the exception to that, of course, is God himself. Because the Bible says in many wonderful places that God knows the heart. God knows exactly what is going on in the heart. Proverbs 21 verse 2 says that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. So the Lord knows the heart, even if no one else does. And in case we ever doubted that, he sent us Jesus Christ. Jesus was born as a man. In the words of Isaiah 53, he was a man of sorrows and familiar with grief. You could say that he knew what the bitterness of Proverbs 14, verse 10 was all about. Imagine how much sorrow he felt. We can feel sorrow and regret because we sometimes see the way things are and the way we think they should have been. And we know that it's not the way we want it to be. But even our grief is tainted with sin, isn't it? We want things to be different, but why? And how? Sometimes we only want things to be different because, well, it would make us happy. Jesus had a much deeper sense of sorrow than that. He saw how things should have been compared to what we have made of it. And it brought him grief, not only because of the pain in our lives, but because it misses God's original intent for this world. It takes away from God's glory. Jesus shared in our human suffering, but he also went on to suffer much more deeply than any of us ever could. Suffering can separate us from the people around us, but it is far worse to be separated from God. Our sins separate us from God, and the gospel is that Jesus died for sinners. And in his dying, he took all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the isolation on himself. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his disciples, "My soul is very sorrowful." Interesting word, isn't it? Sorrowful. "Even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And they didn't. They slept. He suffered alone and he died alone. So this verse is ultimately, has its most ultimate example and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The heart knows its own bitterness. No stranger shares its joy. So I ask you, who is the real stranger here? The real stranger, the real alienation comes from our, we are, and it comes from our side, doesn't it? By nature, we are estranged from God. That's why he had to come to us. John 1, verse 10 through 13 says that he was in the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And think about it. When you're a child, you're not a stranger anymore, are you? Yes, the heart knows its own bitterness. The heart knows its own misery. But like the form says, he has healed our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin. Jesus experienced the ultimate bitterness of heart. And that is why he alone is qualified to share in the bitterness of our hearts. But he does more than that. He also equips us to share in the bitterness of others' hearts. Because a heart knows its own bitterness, you may not always know what to say to other people who are suffering. And in fact, you could conclude from reading this verse that it also teaches us indirectly not to be too quick to say that we understand exactly what someone else is going through, because we don't. If you don't know what the other person is going through, don't pretend that you do either. But what you can do is point them to Christ. As a child of God, you are fully qualified to do so because you have the Spirit of God living in your heart. And God commands us to share each other's grief. Romans 12, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." That's a biblical command. Now, from the other side, if you are struggling with the bitterness of grief in your heart this morning, don't be too quick to isolate yourself. It would be easy to say, "Well, no one else understands anyway, so what's the point in even opening up?" But the Bible tells you that Christ does understand. And he put you in this community of people who all have their own bitterness of heart to deal with. These people are not strangers. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to be patient with them. You need to allow them to minister to you. Give them grace if they sometimes get it wrong. After all, in a few minutes, we're going to sit together at the same Lord's Supper table, aren't we? And that table represents, among many other things, it represents our own imperfection. But as the form says, he has healed our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin. He is healing our imperfection and the imperfections of those around us. And he points us to the day when the perfect will come and the bitterness will disappear forever. Amen.